sing second tenor and first bass and second bass. That's what it's called, first tenor in the quartet.
Oh, yes. That's right.
If you have a radio, if you turn on Nashville at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, you'll hear the Mull Singing Convention sing over that, and they sing quartets from different states.
That tastes pretty good, doesn't it? For a change.
Yeah, that's got good. No, this is plenty. I know. You go ahead and drink it.
I tell you what. You want me to get that?
No.
Mr. Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
While Faye's cooking over there. Tell me, I was driving along there and had my mind on something else. Tell me about them calves again. Was it Ms. Boyles that wanted you to get some calves?
Mr. and Ms. Boyles, when they lived here.
Yes.
And they had two, was fat, and they had plenty to fatten them, you see. And they figured they could sell three, you see. The market was cheap then and what a good time to sell, you see.
Yes.
And they figured that they could get these here and build them up, you know, and make more money. Well, it was a good deal for them both.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good deal for me because I believed in feeding and they didn't.
Yeah.
They let them get poor in the winter and I didn't.
Yeah.
So that I got those and brought them over here. And this to have get mine up, and they didn't do it, you see. Then after that happened, you see, they decided they backed out on me on trading. And somebody, I told them, I said, well, listen, y'all, our plenty of grass just wasting, man. I said, I've got to wait a few days to let them get over the scare now before I can do anything until I can get some boys to come help me pin them. I says, now then, they wasn't hard to pin. We handled them just as good because the people used to handle them. But you take them, turn them loose in a strange place, and they had just a little bit of rumor some of them did in them.
Oh, did they?
And
doesn't take much, does it?
No. Well, you take a gentleman on a jersey will ruin that way and do that too. White face won't ruin hardly. Full blooded white face, he'll walk off. That's the reason I like the white face the best. So
everybody's their friends.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And they don't run and exert themselves and don't take as much to feed them if you'll keep them fat.
Now, you brought the calves over here, and they could see them there in your truck.
See them? Everything? They were just fine. They're just what they wanted. It was the order that they gave me.
Just what you wanted. What they wanted.
Then I took them out and turned them loose because when they got out of the truck, they kind of got scared. And of course, one that had the most brimmer in it, he'd run away from the truck out there, you know. And
so?
Oh, they said they didn't want those little wild and they'll cut you. I said, my goodness, life. I said, the man I got them from had them right up there in the air, and you could just walk all around them. Stranger or anybody could. I said, it always does that when you haul them. 9 times out of 10 it does.
Yeah.
And I said, you got to learn how to handle cattle. And so that I came back over, one got out, and Mr. Bradley had a place over there, and he told me about it, and they just letting them go. I don't know whether they turned them out or not. And I had to catch them all on the outside and get a bunch of boys, and we had to run them down, aim them up and catch them. Nothing I could do about it. You see, they figured they'd get out and they could get rid of them, and maybe they'd actually kind of like that. They'd get them for nothing, you see, if I couldn't catch them.
Then they could have towed them back in.
Yeah, and charged me a big pasture rent, you know. And Ms. Boyle and I never did. We couldn't get along. She pulled several there slickers on me, about these steps and all around. And she had Mr. Boyd working, I suppose, be helping me, and she'd have him working out there, and she wouldn't ever pay, never did pay Mitchell for that. That yeah. worker.
Now, I remember about the steps out there.
Oh, my.
Now, did you,
she treated him dirty about here.
Did you have any more dealings with cattle with her?
No, nothing else.
At all.
Then that, you see.
Yeah.
And I was through with him. That's twice, you know.
Yeah.
And I was through with him then. I just, you know what the Bible says? It says withdraw if you can't get along with them, don't it? Ain't it better to withdraw from them, stay away from them? Speak, go and be nice to them?
You don't even have to read the Bible for that, Mr. Leland.
That's common sense, ain't it?
Twice, I did too much.
Well, you know it. Now then, that was, I consider that was a sin for them to do that, and it's a sin for me to go around and gossip, too. So it's not nice for me to tell these things.
Well, I don't know. You have to...
It's really not nice for me to tell it. Doesn't look good.
I've thought about that. But now you take somebody like Ms. Boyle. She had her good points.
Yeah.
And
all
everybody
them
recognized it.
Yeah.
But she also was hard to get along with, Mr. And I think a fellow's got a right just to, you know, just talk about his own experiences. Now, you're not talking about hearsay.
No, this is experience, you know, how it was. Yeah.
Now, that's your experience.
Too,
not
too.
Theirs, you see.
Yeah, if she was sitting right there, I'd tell her that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference, you know, because...
And if you're not being mean...
I'm not...
Mean-spirited about it.
But I just, that goes in business. When you're buying and selling in business, you're going to look for a lot. You
That's
can expect
right.
some of that to happen sometimes. Well, I said, well, that's one more those, one, I paid for my, you always pay for your experience. I said, I paid my experience on that.
Well, now, you couldn't have had many experiences like that and stayed in business.
No. Now, you take Richardson's down here. I bought Mark, they give me orders, you know, to get them they want the full butter Jersey milk cows. And they want them to give so much milk. Well, they want to know what they'd cost them, about what they'd cost them. I said, well, I'm going to tell you, I don't guarantee no cow under $100.
Yeah.
And it's going to be $100 up. Now, I says, I'll buy them, and I says, I'll look at them according to the cow and the breeding that it is, and I'll bring it by and let you look at it. I'll leave it, you can milk it. And if it suits you, all right, not when I get one, I think another may suit you, I'll bring it by and let you, and drop it off for you. And let you try it, and I'll pick the other one up. If you don't want it, and when you get the one that you want, then I says I'm not gonna bring one I don't think will be all right and stand the test because it cost me too much money going around picking them up.
What did you haul in, Mr. Whitman?
Chevrolet pickup, what I had at that time, a Dodge pickup.
Yeah, well, that'll haul right smart.
Yeah.
Two or three cows?
Yeah, I'd haul two or three cows. I'd carry big 1,000-pound bulls to the market for people. And,
oh,
and if I bought some of them. Oh, I bought some bad ones, too. I hauled some bad ones. You know, I didn't know if I was going to get that out, turn my truck over or not. Man, that's hard driving with a big, mean bull in the back of your pickup truck.
Just going one side to the other.
Yeah, and
that
then going again
truck.
All of that. Going again and trying to break out. We had to tie some of them down, put the lasso rope and tie the heads down in there. If it didn't, they'd go over the top and tie my body all up. We had to tie, hold them like that, get them in there, I tied them down.
That was a little light, that truck was too light for a bull.
Yeah, I quit that was too dangerous.
Yeah.
But when we tied them down, you know, and I was a good driver, you know, and didn't worry me too much then. I wouldn't do it to start. I couldn't stand it. Now I'd get scared. I reckon go to pieces before I got there.
Well, some of them roads you drove on wasn't too good either.
No, sir, bad roads, you know. And when a car whipped by you fast that way you driving, that bullet cut up every time.
Yeah.
And just kept you continuing driving. He went against it, it'd make your truck wave.
Yeah.
And you just had to drive hard all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a whole lot of driving these big trucks, you know, the semi-trailers and loads on a whole lot harder than that.
Yeah.
Of course,
oh, yeah, that's no trouble.
If I'd have had a large truck, you know, it wouldn't have been hard on me. But I hold some bad bulls that way. After I got them loaded in and got the heads tied down, I knew that they'd stay there because I knew how to tie them.
You know, I find a lot of people don't know how to handle animals. People you'd think would know, Mr. Weaver.
I know what they don't.
And you have to go ahead and do it yourself when it's their business.
Yeah.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Now, unloading a Jersey cow, you just put a rope on and pull it up to your truck, you know, where you can, I'd dig down low of them and pick up truck, you know, and pull them up by, and you just tie
them.
Oh,
you sink
your
wheels?
Yes, yeah. And I'd do that, just load them out in the field or anywhere I come to if they didn't have a chute, you know, a corral built.
Yeah.
So that I went ahead and load them. And I'd learn, you know, a lot of people want to get behind them and make them go. You can't drive, you can't make a Jersey cow go any harder.
Oh, can't you? I never handled a Jersey.
You never? Well, they'll soil on you. And get down. And
ooh,
all this kind of stuff. Way I did it, I'd put the rope on it, you know, and I'd tighten on it, and they'd stand there and pull back, and I'd put it around up the front, you know, and have to work. And directly they'd turn loose the give to that rope, you know, and when it did, I just put my weight against it and gave them a pull. I jerked them way on up back. Well, they went back again with everything they had. I just stayed down and held it.
Why'd you put it on the horns?
Horns are butt heads, you know. I'd have to put a holder on them, you see. I'd put a holder on them. Didn't I put on the horns? They had horns, you know.
Horns,
most milk cows had horns.
Yeah, I could see that, but I don't know how the high halter would do it.
Yeah, hold
it. Pull it.
Make your holder, put your holder around here just like you would on a horse. You know, the horse holder is all right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't too large, you take
it
up tight.
And then it
pulls
it.
Come around this
like
way,
that.
You see.
Yeah. Pulls it from underneath.
And you can take a. I used to break bean fighting horses and mules, take a trace chain and hit you just running through the ring, you know, and loop it around under jaw that way and tie them to a tree. And I'd get back with my spring limb this way before it could kick, those kicking kinds, you know, and I'd just keep on coming down. I want to hit it, just hitting it hard enough to hurt it pretty good, you know, with both hands. He'd be kicking at me, see, but he couldn't break that trace chain and get loose. Directly he'd give up to that trace chain. He'd break a mean mule or horse would tie up a new bridle and a holder. But I just looped that when those kicking kind of, you know, if it got loose, it'd kick me and kill me. And some of them would paw you. I just get back down this way and I'd come down two on each side, get for that, directly get around again a tree, you know, got around now, and if I could ever make it grunt, then I'd take it loose and it'd do anything I wanted it to.
Really? Now, how'd you handle that tracing?
Looped it around the under jaw.
And hold it up to the tree?
No, I'd tie it to the tree. And then I'd get back down by myself, you know. Some of them would kick and bark.
And that loop wouldn't come off.
No, it's just he held it there, you know. And it wouldn't ever come back, get loose. It'd stay there, it'd hold it.
Yeah. And that horse mule would pull just so hard and then quit.
He had to quit. And some of them would stand there and kick at you a long time before they'd quit kicking.
What'd you thrash them with?
I got me a big limb, you know, a strangling limb, long limb. I'd get back far enough and hit it with both hands, you know, and let it sprangle all over it. And see, I wouldn't hit it with just one. You made cramps on them, hurt them too bad.
Yeah.
And that, they didn't like that burning of that strangling limb, you see. Brushes. And they'd kick at me for a long time. Directly they'd get the burning soul until to let it scooch up and get again this other tree over here. Then I'd go around and I'd pet that horse, you know, and cat on, hitch it up, and it'd pull or it'd quit kicking. Nine times out of ten, if you didn't keep on till they grunted, though, and give up, it made them worse. If you ever start to make them do anything, you better make them do it. Those bad ones were spoiled and bluffed a lot of people. You just had to stay with it, you know, and you didn't get mad. You just had to Just do it just because you had it to do. I didn't want to do it, but I had it to do. It's just like riding a buckingham. You got to get on it. You get on it. You better stay there. If it ever told you one time, it'll never forget. It told you one time, it's going to try it every time you try to get on it.
Yeah.
That's where that secret came in at. It's not let it never show you. Don't never trust a mule, a horse, or a cow. Any drum brute. Because they're darn sure, I don't care how gentle they are. I like to got kicked right in the face in Gainesville one day. All the calf from way out here at Flemington to Gainesville up there, and it just stood down, never moved, and just let it up in the, told it up in the truck and everything. And I went to take it out, and the last thing I went to do, I turned my head that way, and I just time fixing to take the tailgate back, and that darn little calf kicked at me and hit right at, I went 6 inches from the tailgate if I just had it down there. And it hadn't even moved holding it up there.
What in the world, Mr. Lewis?
And my head was right at it, and I just started moving, and I told him, I said, that calf hadn't moved, just standing up there and rode the best and didn't give me a bit of trouble in the world. I said, I never have seen one like that before. And about that time, I untied the tailgate and moved something, just happened to move my head around out of the way, and it kicked that tailgate right in my face. You just can't trust one of them. You can look for, I had one sell in corral one day, it wouldn't go up in there, and it got down in the corral, and where I was at, I couldn't smother it. I don't know how to smother it. If I can catch my hat, that way they can come up. But where it was, I told the fella, I said, I can make her come up, but I says, I'll tell you what, the way she's got her horn down, the way she's looking at me, she'll hit me in the face, that horn, before I can get away to save my life. Holding her to make her come up out of there.
Oh, you could tell just by the look in her face.
Yeah, look in her eyes. Yeah, you can look in the horse's eye and tell if you fool him a while. Boy, and they show that hard eye and that white eye much around there now. You can look out. You better be ready to move any time. So that, see, they'd always sling the head when you smother them. And I got down there and I had to turn it loose twice. Turn it loose twice. The third time I said, well, ain't one way to get her up. I said, she's going to hit me right up there. And boy, she hit me right down on the cheek with that horn. But I held on. I didn't give up. And she come up from there that time. But she really made a place on my cheek.
Well, what could you have done?
Through.
Could you put a rope
I couldn't
on
get, her? Couldn't get her up and couldn't get, we couldn't get her to move no way.
You couldn't put a rope on that horn and keep her from slinging her head.
No, no, where it was and how it was, I had to let her get up, you know, to come on up. And she hit me one time with it, but by that time I had her before she couldn't go back down.
Yeah.
But it hurt. Now, I'm not kidding you. She hit me right on the chin. I forgot which place, right along there. It cut plumb through, too.
Mr. Weaver, I've worked with cows out here in the stall, these dental cows.
You better watch them.
And you get one in the catch, you know, and every now and then they'll sling the head.
Yeah, and they'll hit you too with it.
And if that butt head hits you right,
you just
shook all over.
I reckon you are. And you know, another thing, they'll kick at a fly and hit you. Or they'll sling the head from a fly and hit you. See, they're dumb brutes. They don't know. You got to look out. Be ready to jump any time.
Yeah.
Well, listen. I want to get back on. I want to tell you about the fur buying.
Yeah. See, you can listen to this now.
Okay.
So that.
We've been holding this up for
years. I want you to hear
all
it too.
Right, I'm
gonna. I'd always listen to all the stories that the old people would hear them saying, people talking about business. That's the way you get some good experience and education. So that, I went
you
down.
You warm enough?
Yeah, I'm all right. I don't know. I don't know why I brought a jacket or not. I usually did. I brought my cap so my head got cold. Or maybe it might get cold. So I went. I had a buggy, and I went down and borrowed my oldest brother's horse. Be going Friday and Saturday. No, I was going to be Christmas Eve day. I was going to work Christmas Eve day, you see, and 23rd and 24th. And 25th was Christmas Day. And I wanted to be back home. I went on out and I worked till about 3 o'clock that afternoon. I bought one skunk and one possum hide. Paid $2 for the skunk hide and 25 cents for the possum hide. Well, I could only sell the skunk for 2 1/4. Wouldn't make anything on the possum hide, but this fella I'd bought first too, you know, and that had him. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you just what I can make on them. I won't make but 25 cents on them, you see. I said, I can make that on them. I said, I can't get but 2 1/2 for them, 2 1/4 for the skunk, and 25 cents for the possum hide. But I says, if I make on one, I says, that'll be all right. I figured maybe I'd buy more that day. And I went on, you know, and that's all I bought. And I got to one of mother's cousins, you know, and I hadn't seen them a long time, and I was about 3 or 4 o'clock that afternoon. And stopped out to see if they had any furs. And it was so cold, and they wanted to hear from mother and dad, you know, so bad, they wanted to spend the night. And I was about froze anyway. I went on in there, and I decided to spend the night, you know, and I didn't sleep in until about 2 o'clock. I still hadn't got good and warm, and it was so cold that night. Everything was froze up, ice and everything. Everything, creeks was froze over and everything. So I was worried about that. Well, here, I got ahead of my story. When we went out there to take my horse out and put it up and feed it, their dog had went out there and took a pool of skunk out of the car and eat it all up but his tail. I didn't have a thing. And about $2 and a quarter, and I had 1 25-cent possum hide. I was losing $2.
What's that? The horse done what?
Their dog went out there and took the skunk out of the out of my buggy and eat it up. Never known of a dog in my life to eat a skunk hide before, since before that. But it actually did that. Well, I worried about my $2, you know.
Yeah.
And me, about 15 years old, you see. So I'd heard him talk about where there's a will, the way, and if you quit anything, a loser, you'd always be a loser in it. And I'd think of that, you know, what I heard old people say, you know, and talking. Well, about 2 o'clock, I think I did go to sleep and rest about a couple of hours, and we got up about 4 o'clock the next morning. That's the time we always got up at that time, you know. I was ready to get up anyway, you know. I done woke up, you know, regular time. And I got up, we went on to eat breakfast, and I stayed around a little bit, and I says, well, I'm going on today. I'm just not going back like that. I think I had saved up some money, and I had most of my money myself, and I did talk to my dad to let me have $10 to carry along with me, so if I found furs. I drove into a little town, went on through the country, on to a little town over there, stopped the natural bridge, and went on down 5 miles to Lynn, and it's about 7 or 8 miles to my father's, you know. And I hadn't found anything. Just well, got the edge of Lynn up there, began to find possum hides and buying them. 10, 15 cents, and 25 cents. And 5 cents for some of them. And I got out there, and my uncle was running a store, and there's everybody in there buying Christmas things, you see. And I stayed around that store, and the boys would find out, and all those boys around that little town had possum hides. But I spent all my money and part of my dad's money buying possum hides that day. I bought about $30 worth, and I had a buggy full of them. So that went on in, I held them right after Christmas, And I figured I'd made a pretty good, you know, 5 and 10 cents a piece, you know. I reckon I must have bought 50, 75 possum and skunks around there that day. And I drove on home that night, held on the left for Christmas, and market went up, and I made about $30 the next day.
That's the first go-around.
Yeah.
Around,
yeah.
And you were 15 years old.
15 years old. And as cold as it was, it took a nervy kid to keep going.
And that was right at Christmas when you.
Yeah.
Everybody else was out, but
I was going to get some experience in business and make me some money.
Oh, you had that idea?
Yes, sir. I had it all my life. I even swapped pocket knives. I started off swapping pocket knives. I said, if I get stuck, let them. That's all right. If I misjudge it, I'd anything they wanted to trade on. When I was a kid, I'd trade. I saved my money. I worked out, got out, and I caught most of these with my dogs, you know. And I had to pay the board bill for my dogs. My dad made me pay that. That was good for me. It taught me, you know, to how to do business, you know. That's good for you to do that.
Cleaver, you didn't used to have these fine dogs like you got now.
Why?
You just had them plain old hound dogs.
Well, listen, Ford didn't, don't, I had them back then. I always bought the best dogs that could be bought. My oldest brother did, too.
But they were just these old, long-eared hound dogs.
Oh, no, they weren't either. We had these short-eared dogs, and we had good dogs. And,
They were good dogs, but they was...
Oh, well, they weren't the registered dogs like I got now. You see, these same people, if their dog eat my... I had a dog, I got from two dogs from them, from my cousins. I'll give them another dog and a brand new shotgun for two. And one of them, I owned the Fox dogs, you see, and these that I had wasn't as good runners as I wanted, and these here was from my brother's stock, and one of my uncle's stock that I was getting from them. Well, this was, but it's come down a different way. And there's better tree dogs than there was Fox dogs. So I swapped them this dog, and how come and swapped me this dog, these two dogs, I'd offered them a gun to boot and tried to swap with them before, you know. These two boys, you see, my mother's cousins. There's my second cousins, you see. Third cousins, of course. So the dog came by there just before I was up there that time, you know, and they'd done raising some more puppies a year younger than these, you see. Those dogs I got, one of them turned out to be one of the best fox dogs in the country. And I'd give them this gun, well, at that time, $3 or $4 or $5 what you paid for a gun, not over $5 for a gun like that. And that's about what I had in it. It was a new one. It was a good one. And they needed a gun. And so there's a dog came through there, and it was slobbering, and their dog must run out, and it bit those dogs. And every place that strange dog went through, they thought it was a mad dog, you know. And they come and traded me those dogs after this mad dog bit.
All right.
didn't tell me about it, you know.
Yeah.
But I went to find out about it. Well, I watched those dogs.
You just fair game, Mr. Weaver.
And I just went ahead. I said, well, I says, I don't believe too much in this mad dog business, no way. I says, they're poison dogs will help it. And these dogs that has distemper goes in convulsions at times.
And bite.
Yeah, and slobber and everything. That's what it is, and the veterinary just makes a lot of money off of it. I was a sucker. I even worked to help get it to vaccinate dogs, and that's the wrong thing. Scatters diseases. And it does more harm than good. Vaccinating. It's been proven out to me. And I don't have mine vaccinated. If you take the distemper and die, I've lost some. All these letters that I've had. Promise, I may lose those two fine puppies I got up there now.
But you ain't going to vaccinate them.
No, I'm not going to vaccinate them. God, I've seen too many dogs run and no good just vaccinated. Nothing but that. You got to keep them 2 or 3 years, maybe they'll get over it. The mother of those little puppies I got up there has been going to be hard raised on account she'd been vaccinated too much. But that dog, you know, see that big dog that I got there is dead as those puppies, you see. And well, I went on and it kept that dog, you know. And I kept those dogs, carried them out, and just a night or two after that, a friend of mine had got a pair of dogs, half good ones, and as a dog as came from some other country, was stock of dogs, and of course him was a good one. So we went to start out hunting, and here their dog's young, about our dog's about around 2 years old, you know, getting around 2 years old that fall. We struck a fox, and boy, you talking about running. His dogs went in for about 3 hours, and after this 3 hours going over, one of mine and one of this other fella's dogs was still running. Well, we thought they'd be in a little while, you know, run out here, and they come in, went to bed, and about 11 o'clock, they passed back through again running. Old brother come, woke me up, says they're running right around my house. We got up and went over and built a fire and listened to them. They went out of here, and he went on went to bed, and I stayed up. After a while, they came back through. And by the way, the last time they went out of here, and about 8 o'clock the next day, those two dogs running, still running all night. And I could tell, listen to mine, is about 100 or 2 yards ahead of this in all time. It belonged to my friend, you know. He wasn't as big, as strong, a healthy dog as mine was. Wasn't as fast as a speedy dog. But he had a beautiful mouth on him, and it did sound good in a race. And he run that season with him, and from then on, 3 hours and 4 hours, as long as he could stay with him. And that dog, mine, just put everybody's dogs out.
So that's one of the dogs you... Played.
That's one I was telling you about, won that field trial, you know, up there. Seven counties. A fella had won 7 counties. And he come up and run again mine, and mine won 100% on everything. Over every dog, for about 40 dogs, come out to run again him.
Yeah.
And he jumped the fox, trailed it up. He struck it, he jumped it, trailed it up. And every dog came in but him, but one old walker dog, and he couldn't keep up. And went ahead, and after a while he came back, and I told him, I says, this man's dog come back, it's supposed to be scratched. Everything's supposed to have been scratched right to start with but him. And this dog never had. This is July he had. Well, mine is a Maryland and walker dog, and had some July in it. It was crossed up with three different good breeds, you see. So that we went ahead and I told him, I says, when they all came in, I says, but this old Walker, he is about 2 miles behind mine, going, they started west and went way nearly out of here and west. We went away back in there. Then he turned and went back east. When he did that, these other fellas' dogs tried to hit it way ahead, you know, from him. And instead, he turned the other way. He followed the fox. And I told him, I said, now we can go back up down about a mile and go back about 2 miles back in yonder where he's going. And if you all promise me this, that you won't put your dogs in ahead of him. I said, now I don't like for you to do that. I said, it's not being fair to him. And I says, if you do that, I says, he'll scatter every dog the rest of the night.
Yeah.
If you do it that way. And they would go out there, and I tried to hold them back, and I said, don't do that. Wait till he crosses the road, then let them go in right with him. Let them go in. And they went and hollering, cut up, and put the dogs in ahead of it. He got up there, and he barked till he got up to where they struck the head, and they'd done going on with the fox, you know, down in there. Found some bluffs and cliffs. Well, he hushed right up. I told him, I said, now, the next time you hear him open, he's going to be on the other side of those other dogs. I said, he's a good pack dog. If you go doing that to him, and they go cutting on him, I says, he'll scatter them in a few minutes. so that they didn't leave it, you know. So he took that fox away from them, went way down in on Blackwater Creek, and we was at the water, some gulls, some bluffs round the Nars on a hill, big hill up there. And he went on down through in there and went yell out of here, and he jumped the fox and came back, and there all their dogs round there, and I'm a son of a gun. That fox didn't cross come right through that bunch of dogs, and they struck in the head of him again. I told him, I says, well, he won't say no more. I says, he knows what they struck in the head of him. I just took my horn off and blowed it. Did he come, let him know I was there, you see. He come, you know, and I stopped him. I says, listen, Lead, they'd done gone over that mountain into some down in some bluffs and places down in the other side. I said, when he left, he went right on. He wanted to go, and I stopped him. But he didn't stop long enough to have been on the field trial. They could scratch him, because I knew he wouldn't stay there. But I wanted him to be sure that he had him coursed. He went right on in there and got on the front end and all night long till next day. That was about 11 o'clock. And 8 o'clock the next day, it went in a hole. And every time it come by us and went by us, he was 200-300 yards ahead of any dog. And he could just lope the next day. And I think to myself, well, they may pass you if you can't beat that. And if you can't beat that, he still hadn't got down to a trot on it. He's still loping at 8 o'clock the next day. And that's pretty good for a dog to be able to lope the next day, you know, after he'd run that hard and trail like an hour and 35 minutes, hard trailing. That's harder than running on a dog.
Oh, it is.
And so that they went out of here and went to New River, about 10 miles. And 4 o'clock, I could just hear them topping the mountains and the hills coming back. Just two dogs running. Everything else had done quit again come out. And but that two-year dog, I could tell one of them was crossing, coming up as we hit plain first. But I wouldn't say nothing. It sounded like it was mine. And when they come on in there, it was him. He was about 300-400 yards ahead of it all the time. You could hear him come out and hear him go out of here and down into our gulf and the holler. And you couldn't hear the sound when they got so far.
But you never done it. That was up in Alabama.
Yeah, that was up there.
Now, you never did anything. There wasn't any such hunting as that down here.
Oh, no, we did not run that long. I've had my dogs run. I had seven of my pack, and one of them was 8 months old, third time he was in the woods, run 5 races and run 16 and a half hours. Since down here, these same dogs, the daddy of these dogs and the mother of them, of these dogs I got now.
Yeah.
It's a generation before that, you know, I had.
Yeah. But now, you had some pretty good places to run?
Well, I run over here in Big Scrub, you see.
Yeah.
Around the Horn place, that Ford built state in State 75, and you see that just went right straight through the hunting ground there. I can't hunt that.
Yeah.
Took this other over here for a deer now, and I can't hunt that.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about someone shooting one of my dogs and killing one of them? One of my best dogs.
Yeah, you mean
best trained dog.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. About a month ago, and its mate just got well the other day, and I. When the swelling went down, I thought she had shot. Now, that was dirty, somebody that shoot that dog for nothing.
That's nothing.
You couldn't get through that. If they've ever run anything but a fox or cat, I didn't know.
Yeah, people just don't realize that, do they? It's hard to realize.
You see, I don't train mine to do anything but that.
Yeah.
And I keep around, I teach them to not bark at stuff.
Well, it looks like they could come over there and look at your dogs and see how they behave.
Hey, some people just don't want to.
Hey, I think we need just a little heat.
There some people.
You are not got as much heat over here as you generally have, do you?
I don't know.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
What kind of coffee is this, Mr. Miles?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Weaver. I'd been putting up with this old coffee, and I hadn't got any since they started making it in the crumbly sort of instant coffee.
It ain't no count anymore.
No. And I looked around on the shelf, and I saw some of this Louisiana coffee. It said it had sugar in it, and it was powdered. And I got some of that, and that's what this is. And I can't tell much difference from this. It tastes just like the rest of it.
It does.
Can you tell the difference?
This tastes different because this is boiled coffee, though.
No.
Is this instant?
Yeah.
Louisiana instant?
Yeah.
Well, all that Louisiana, all of that instant coffee is not much different. You take a mess of house now and Folgers,
yeah,
Folgers,
all
or which,
the same.
What do you call that, pronounce that?
I don't know, I call it
Folgers.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I called it, but some called it Folgers, but I thought it was Folgers. That's the way I pronounce it.
No, I don't care for it, this new style of coffee. I don't know why. I went by A&P. They still had some of that old powdered instant coffee. But they quit selling it. All theirs is this crumbly sort.
It is. They don't have the ground coffee anymore?
No, they don't have that powdered instant coffee.
I like the powder, didn't I? I like the boiled coffee the best.
Oh, yeah.
Drip later is the best coffee. I like it better than any other coffee.
Yeah.
Drip later coffee.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Mr. Hill, you know, I didn't realize that. This is something now, this is on the gardening side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said you had them peppers out there. By the way, I didn't go by and get any.
Well, you may. You better get it because they have a little on it now.
Yeah.
Just about gone. I thought that cold gave a bit of time. I left a little on it, you know.
Yeah.
I have had it stay on till after Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I picked it after Christmas. You had people come around picking some pepper after Christmas.
Well,
oh, it is strong when you let it stay that way, too.
Where is it?
Oh, yeah. I banked it the other day.
Yeah.
I banked it this time last year. I like to let it lost all of it.
Well, a light frost hurt it?
Oh, it'll damage it.
Yeah,
it won't be good pepper.
Yeah.
But it didn't frost more than enough to hurt it.
No.
It's got some blooms on it now. They may come on up and may not.
Well, now,
it turns warm again.
You, them roots, that stalk, you see, gets bigger every year. And it comes back out.
Yeah, and comes out and makes more pepper, too.
Yeah. And you, them stalks you got there, you've had them 10 or 12 years.
Had one of them 12 years, and the other one's 10.
Yeah.
I lost all my 11-year-old and got one 12, and got some 10s, a few 10s there, and a few 9s. And then I've got some young pepper about 2 years old.
Now, they'll just put out next spring.
Yeah, see, I banked them up about this high, you know.
Yeah, about a foot, 10 inches.
Yeah. And more you bake them, better you stoke you, keep you. Now, if it comes cold, you see, I'll go out there the next morning and cut that all off. Or break it off. I believe it's better to break it off.
Oh.
And break that off before that silence goes down in the ground.
Oh,
I see.
It'll
keep anyway if you let that stay on it. It'll keep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's really, someone's asked me why about it. I tried cutting it off and tried every way in the world. I believe to break it is the best. You know, that's natural for it to heal up better, breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it heals a little bit better.
Well, now, is that a... Don't you know they call some plants annuals and some perennials?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, is that pepper an annual?
I wouldn't know which you are, what they'd call that myself.
Well, now, you take this pokeberry, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You leave it there from year to year, you see, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And you get you see, it's just a little bitty old spindly thing.
Yeah, I know.
Time it stays there for 5 years.
It gets larger and larger. Of course, now rail free, it'll kill that thumb back, and it has to come up again and start over. Pokeberries. Freeze kills that. Kills around my place.
Kill the root and everything?
Yeah. These big, bad freeze we had, it had to start up from the seed again.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Pokeberries.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, now you take these old banana trees out there.
Yeah, they get killed back too.
Yeah.
Looks to me like would it pay to build some way convertible house around those banana trees and
yeah.
put a stove in there and save
them? Yeah.
Don't you be fella, I've often thought if you could make a sliding doors, you know, and slide that back on rollers.
Yeah.
Fix it up there and then have a put a wheat and cover them up overhead, you see.
Yeah.
I believe it'd pay a man to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'd cost him right smart to do it.
It'd be right troublesome, yeah.
But you have banana trees out here, don't you?
I got some.
I was thinking, did.
Yeah. But now you take these old elephant ears right here next to the ramp. That's where you walk up.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's what they do, you see. They got roots down there.
Uh-huh.
And they come back from them big rootstocks.
Yeah. Well, the bananas comes up, but I believe if you could save more, they'd put on a lot better fruit and be better to keep them growing, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Bananas would. But, you know, I don't know how tall they get if they kept growing.
No.
You may have to build that way up under. I've often thought about that. I started to experiment on something, things like that, and I said, you know, well, of course, after I got sick, you know, my health hasn't been too good in the last 10, 15 years. It's been pretty bad the whole time. I can't experiment on anything much now. It takes a lot of work to do those things.
I just wonder, a lot of these weeds, if you let them go over from one year to another, if they wouldn't do the same thing.
I guess they would, you know. A lot of, you take what you call a ragweed comes up from
ground. Oh, yeah, and that old dog fennel.
Yeah, and all that, a lot of that stuff.
That old coffee weed.
Yeah, coffee weed.
You just let that grow and unhindered, and it'll really have a root.
Well, you take what they call a tea weed. It gets up about this high, something like that, in rich place, and he'd just take a place, you know. That old tea weed will. Around there in my dog yard, and it's hard to pull up.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a real freeze to kill that bag.
Yeah.
He comes up from the root again.
It will
kill that. Some years I've had to kill every bit of it, but to come up in the seeds the next year.
Yeah.
I've got lots of them in my dog yard down there. It's a lot of trouble. I pull it up, and wish it's good to have it in there at times, some.
Well, some of these weeds, tea weed or whatever it is one out there that is as tough as leather.
Yeah.
You just can't hardly pull it up.
After
rain. I forget what
they're a weed. They're a weed that they used to make what kind of weed is that? They used to get it and it was root or seed or something and make a candy out of it and give children for worms.
Well, sir,
you
didn't I'm
help
glad
me,
to
sir.
See it.
You'll have a glass of milk, Mr. Weaver?
Yeah, milk or water, either one's all right.
I'd be happy to give you some
milk. Yeah, either one's all right. I'm trying to think of that, and boy, I mean, you can make your own worm medicine. You don't even have to take it.
Now, what's that?
It's a weed.
Yeah.
But I've forgotten what the name of it. Ragweed. I don't know where it's at and what's called ragweed. No, I'm not for sure I've ever seen any of it in Florida or not.
Ragweed. Oh, that weed, yeah.
It may be that we don't have it down here. I'm not for sure that I've seen it. And you know, there bluegrass up there in North Alabama, or used to be, the woods may have killed it all out. That you can take and make a tea out of it, and you don't need no quinine or nothing. You just use some tea from that.
Oh, really?
Make it yourself.
Is that right?
And it's not so bad to take. You can sweeten it if you want to. It's a little bitter though, kind of like quinine.
Yeah.
It is fine. I would take a dose in the spring for all the year up that, all we ever took, you know. Make it ourselves. But I don't know. I asked them one time when I was up there if there's still any of that growing up there. I wanted to get it. I'd go and plant it. And go to trying to grow it, if I could.
Y'all go ahead and eat.
We're gonna eat right this minute.
So, I planned on doing that.
You talk about trading. You don't trade much anymore.
Well, I can't look after anything. I just can't.
But Buckweaver trades all the time.
Well, you take... It's kind of funny. I don't like to tell these things, you know. I always trade them guns and watches.
Yeah.
Well, I bought pecans, you know, back at during the winter, you see, in fall. And when he came down, I gave him things to do, you see it. And when he got married, they tried to take every bit of the business that I had and get into all the business more me to let them have the fur business and everything.
Oh.
They even bought furs again, me too. And I was in the produce business when he came down, and I gave him certain parts of it to work and gave him. I said, now I'll go ahead and you go ahead and sell all you can now and keep all what commission you make, because it belongs to you. I'll just give you that. And I had it already advertised and gave him the easiest people to deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, he had never had no experience. He taught school, but he didn't know nothing about business, you know.
And he was in the produce business for a while.
Well, see, he when he first came down, I told him that I'd give him certain ones and give him the names and for them him to handle all that business and keep the commission. Of course, I had to pay for the license, and I paid for everything and expenses of the building and just keep him for the profit he made on that. And he learned a little about that, and he peddled some, you know, and then they wanted me to let them have the fur business. I could turn over the pecan business to them, told me I didn't care about fooling with it, and then go ahead and do that to them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Weaver, did trees used to bear pretty well without fertilizer?
Which,
pecan trees.
No, I don't think they did. They did, see, they just bear about every other year.
Yeah.
Every 2 years. Thank you.
Well, now, Ms. Boyles used to sell a lot of pecans, they tell me. But I just can't imagine her fertilizing trees.
Well, they may have fertilized them, and they haven't.
Is that right?
Of course, you see, back when they cultivated this land around these trees, they was all the time putting fertilizer there. And growing vegetables around them and different things, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's all grass, you know, and the grass takes up a lot of that.
That's it. But I wondered about that.
I think that's one thing.
How are you going to fertilize these pecan trees out here that's got hair grass all around them?
Well, you just got to fertilize both of them. Both at the same time. That's the only way you can do it.
But hair grass is going to get most of it.
Yeah, I guess we'll let you cut your little ditch down in there, deep down in the ground, and put it down for your pecan trees.
Mm-hmm. Well,
some needs different things. If you could ask up at the university, they could tell you what would pay or not. Of course, everything they experiment on will pay it off now. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah.
I guess you know it too, don't you? Just like I was talking to Richard boys over here, they're farmers, and I never had to go to college, you know, and the university. My oldest brother went, and Buck went. See, they're both older than I am, you see. And so that asked him one day over there about when they're taking agriculture in Gainesville, you see. There's farmers, you see, Leroy and Mark and his brother. And I asked him, I says, which you think is the best? Going to university and farming like they tell you to do up there, or getting out and farming yourself and learning yourself? They says, well, he says it's good to have experience as you go along and studying about reading about it too.
Yeah.
And it is. You see, they're going to, they're reared on a farm and working around it.
But now, Buck, he's trading all the time, isn't he?
What's he?
He still trades all the time for guns and all.
Well, you see, when I went to Cottonwood, you can't do all these things. You've got to be there if you've got guns and things like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He takes a lot of money to run those businesses.
Well, that's the trouble. That's the trouble. These guns don't, you can't buy a gun for $5 anymore.
I used to have five or six, the best grade pocket watches, mine, when I was buying for, and I'd, guns, pistols, guns. Even I was in Gainesville one day, and the fellow wanted to sell a saddle to me up there. I says, I don't need no saddle. I got one up in Alabama. Says, I got a good saddle here. Says, let me sell it to you. I says, well, I look at it, it's a big, fine Texan saddle. He said, so they'd made it up at Rayford.
Uh-huh.
I says, what you want for it? He says, $15. That saddle looks good to me, you know. I said, well, that's one. I don't know why. I'm talking to anybody about buying. I don't know the price of them, but that looks to me like that's too good to buy. Me turned down. I said, wait till I go out there and get my checkbook. I'll give you a check. I'll give you $15 for it.
Yeah.
I went on around buying furs that fall, you know, and got talking to people that fell down in Gulf Hammer. Told me, he said, he had a brand new McClellan saddle. And I told him, I said, well, I got one that cost you over $100 to have it made. He said, well, how about bring it down and let me look at it? I says, okay, I'll bring it down there. And I think he'd give me $40 to boot. I sold the little McClellan saddle for $10. They didn't sell good, you know. He was a good new one. The fellow on the credit, man got sick, and he never did pay me, and I never did ask him for it. I just let him keep it.
Yeah.
But I think it's $40 he gave me the boot in the trade.
Well, did you go way down to Gulf Hammock in your trading? In your trapping?
Around Old Town, over there, and down below Orlando, down to Brooksville.
Oh, you did?
All over Gulf Hammock, all through in there.
You'd have a route?
Mm-hmm.
They expected you.
Yeah, I had certain routes myself, and I had about 3, 4, 5 working for me at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you'd go by and pick up what they sell?
No, they brought them in. I didn't have time. I worked from Old Town to Gulf Hammock, all down, and down to Brooksville. In there, then I had to stay in the fur house, and I had one man stayed in the fur house all the time.
Oh, really?
And
where was the fur house, mister?
Well, I had the fur house, you know, where Mr. Myers' shop there is in storage room,
right.
Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I had my fur house, and I had half of this store there for my barber shop and pool.
Yeah. How long has Myers been there?
He's been there about, must be around 15 years.
Well, how did he ever get in there?
His daddy bought that place for him before he died.
But they both moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
his daddy's one had the money, or maybe it came down from his mother's side. You know, Jess did have $45,000, I think, in the bank. Jess, I think it must have come down from the estate on his mother's side. Part of it.
Where was they from, Mr. Weaver?
They're from Kentucky.
Oh, so they come to from Kentucky here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
You know, I know how come them to come down here.
How come?
I don't like to tell you.
What is this, man?
Pears.
He poured the fellas dog up out in Kentucky, and he gave him 30 days to get out of town, get out of Kentucky, never come back. And he didn't go back either. He could go back on visit, but he don't stay long.
Well, now they've taken up pretty well with the town, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they're pretty good people.
And she's right clever.
Well, Ms. Myers, George is not as clever as she is. And you take the steward's wife, Peggy, she's just as nice, polite a person as you ever seen in the store. You never seen one any better than she is.
Who is George?
That's George's boy. His wife.
Oh.
Did you ever notice how nice and polite and how she talked and when you
is
go
she
in,
a little dark haired woman?
Yeah.
Drives a school bus?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
she
her
just,
name?
Peggy.
Peggy.
Peggy is her name, yeah.
I like her.
It's Ida Birch, you know, the horse is one that runs the garage there.
Yeah.
It's his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
And it's Ida's daughter with her first husband.
Mm-hmm. What's Miss Myers' name?
I don't know. I reckon I've heard, but I've forgotten.
Well, anyhow. She keeps up with everything, don't she?
Yeah, she's good in the store. Mr. Myers is getting a little bit better than he used to be. He used to be awful cranky in there.
Yeah. Well, he don't stay in there much, does he?
No, he got out. They sold out one time, and another fellow, mm-hmm. named Lee, run into one.
Yeah, the boy couldn't make it, could he?
Well, I don't know what happened about that. They sold too much on the credit, or his wife, I think, is the one who had the money. I think his wife.
Well, that's a good place to get rid of it, ain't it?
Oh, you can sell it out on it for credit quick.
Yes, sir. Well, Faye, I enjoyed this.
It seemed
like I hadn't eaten anything.
This is nice. Nice dinner.